Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Folks, in the bottom half of this hour, we'll visit with Paul Rainwater, chair of Governor Landry's Sewage and Water Board Task Force, a 25-page report outlining a number of different things. And we'll get into the meat of the details of a lot of this. Some of the reporting thus far has been a little bit misleading about what the task force has actually suggested and why. And, and it's listed as options and off and running as to whether or not that was the recommendation that was made. A lot of this is going to be in the legislature's hands, working with the city administration as to where they want to see a number of things happen. So we'll get down into the details as to why the report is structured the way it is. I actually read through it twice, and I like a lot of the recommendations that they're making. It makes sense. This commission was set up, I think, in the late 1800s, and not a lot has changed. And, you know, it's high time, I think, to kind of move forward and re-engineer literally some of the things we're doing, become more regional in nature, because we share a number of canals in the region. It's not uncommon. Water seeks out its lowest point, typically, and sometimes it's not on your parish, it would be somewhere else. I did want to bring up a topic, though, and if you want to call in, we'll talk 504-260-1870 about what's happening relative to reporting on crime. And what we're finding in a number of jurisdictions, and of course, this always happens when you have elections that are going on and elections that matter, our statewide elections don't align with what's happening with the elections that are going to go on in November, but there are many that do. And what you're finding is a lot of these crime stats are being kind of shielded from the public in certain ways. We're not getting the true story. And when you dig a little deeper, a number of folks in the media are digging deeper, and they're finding it's not exactly what people say it is. And that's really problematic. I've always been one, they are what they are. You have to be honest with the public. If you lose the public's trust, it takes three times as hard to get it back. We're seeing a little bit of this going on as it relates to level of violence in the subway in New York, and we've seen it in other areas of the country as well, where they're kind of recharacterizing what the experience actually is. And that in a lot of cases, there's actually an increase where they're saying that there's a decrease. That is not a good strategy. And thankfully, haven't seen it anywhere here locally, and hopefully nobody takes that tack. The numbers are what they are. The fact of the matter is your job is to go out and catch the offenders in law enforcement. That's your job. To catch as many as you can possibly catch. Establish the probable cause, go out, make the arrest, present it to the DA. The DA should prosecute as many as he could possibly prosecute, quite frankly. And if he's got to take a plea, take a plea. Move it on. It's all about throughput. It's all about documenting illegal behavior by individuals, plain and simple. There's no judicial system set up right now to be able to handle every case that comes through the court. We would be foolish to think that that's in fact the case. And there's many options afforded DAs and judges and law enforcement as to how they're going to proceed. But more importantly, what people want is responding to crime, responding to their calls, responding to their plea for help. More so than probably any other function that we engage in, that is the quickest way and the easiest way to maintain the confidence level of the public in you as an agency. And when you start fudging on crime stats, it doesn't work to anyone's benefit at all, not in the least bit. And it's a crazy, crazy way to go about business. We also spend a lot of time on this show talking about accountability, right? We talk about having the ability to receive money. In other words, executing on the dollars that are sent your way. And it seems like no matter where we send money these days, we can't get to that execution. If you recall, and I was dead set against this, but they did it anyway. In the American Rescue Plan Act, it was about $1.9 trillion, in that spending bill for COVID relief. Well, it also had $86 billion to bail out multi-employer pension funds that unions draw from. And the bailouts are being distributed on a case-by-case basis by an organization, a government agency called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's interesting that we have this set up to be able to receive federal dollars to have that go into multi-employer pension funds where a lot of these members of these funds, they're not government employees. It's kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. It's like we have already waved the white flag and we've already conceded that we don't have a lot of trust in the Teamsters or others in managing their pension funds because they're going to invest in all kinds of exotic schemes, lose money, and we, the taxpayers, are going to bail them out, right? Well, as a result of an audit that was done, what they recognized is there was $127 million in payments to 3,479 dead people. Yeah, you heard me. These benefits were not heritable by others. That the recipient of the benefit must have been the last qualified individual alive to be able to receive it. And these improper payments were uncovered by the Department of Labor Inspector General. And the Inspector General made note in a report that the payments were made because the PBGC, the committee I just talked about, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, right, refuses to go to the most reliable database to get the most current information about deaths. Why is that? The Death Master File, the DMF from the Social Security Administration. We've actually talked about this issue before on this show in a different context. This is the most reliable database as to who's alive, who's dead, especially if you have a fiduciary obligation and you're acting as a fiduciary and you're distributing these funds. This is where you would want to go, right? To find out if they're alive or not. Because upon their death, the benefits are supposed to end. Well, it gets even worse. So they have figured out, yep, Department of Labor auditor, IG was right. there were 3,479 people that received benefits. Families did put it into their estate, cash the checks. But now this organization, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, they don't want to go recoup the dollars. Even the head of the Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, has agreed you can't leave that money out there. You got to go get it. It's amazing how when it comes to federal tax dollars, you know, nobody ever treats these dollars like they're their own, right? It's okay. 3,500, right around 3,500 people, the beneficiary of all kinds of dollars, federal dollars, that they weren't entitled to. No big deal. We just don't feel that strongly about going to get it. So this $127 million that's out there, they're arguing back and forth as to, you know, what's going to happen. But now the Congress is involved, right? They got wind of these reports. They got wind of this tug of war. And now they have to get involved, and they're pulling people in to, I'm sure, that's going to be all kinds of hearings, you know, to determine what the heck is going on. Why would we not have an interest in going out and getting this money? Somebody please explain it to me. Well, it gets worse. So the Public Benefit Guarantee Corporation, Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, excuse me, they received the OIG's report. They recognize that this is the best place to go, the DMF file, the death master file from Social Security Administration. One would think that they would change their policy. Well, if you think that, you're wrong. They have no intention of updating their procedures. And they'll continue to approve applications that include deceased participants that could be identified easily and simply with this database, but they refuse to do so. This is crazy. If we want to go out after anybody in government, we should be going out after these folks. Because even when empowered with the information to cure the problem, they're refusing to change the procedures. Feel better about that check? You're right. On April 15th? Well, you probably shouldn't. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On a text line, it says folks are asking whether or not, police officers and unions resent other unions. This is not about resentment. This is about accountability. These unions are supposed to stand up their pension funds and supposed to make the investments necessary and have actuaries deal with their investments and so forth as to what kind of return they need in order to support the benefits that they receive. And they should not be enhancing benefits if they can't afford it. And that's what happened. And then as soon as there's a Democrat in elected in the, as president, they go to them and they ask them for help. Or when they control the House and the Senate, they ask them for help. Because they've made all of these silly investments that didn't turn out very well. A lot of exotic investments that don't turn out at all. And they always know that when they do so, well, we'll just go to the federal government and they'll backfill our coffers and they'll make us whole. And then we can start this whole stupid process all over again. And then in another 8 years, we'll come back and we'll be upside down yet again. And we will have voted for increased benefits to our members that far exceeds our income that we have. But we always know that the backstop is the federal government. Now, if any of you believe that that is a sound fiscal policy, please call me. I want to hear how you make that work. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And it's some of the same situations that we have both in state pensions and local government and the like, is that we always count on the taxpayer to be the backstop to make sure that we can cover the mistakes that we've made, because we just all about giving money away. And not about due diligence, not about doing the right thing, not about making the right investments, not about taking the time to understand that we are acting as a fiduciary, and with that comes certain obligations. It's kind of the same thing that's going on with Social Security right now. We are not doing what's necessary in order to make sure that the viability of that is beyond what, is it 10 years, 5 years? They're saying they're going to be in a huge problem. We're going to wait till the end of this situation to do something in a hurried fashion, one that's just a stopgap measure. We'll keep kicking the can down the road, and we won't understand why we find ourselves in a deficit posture and that we can't deal with it. So it's going to be interesting to see where this ends. All right, we have Paul Rainwater, chair of Governor Landry's Sewage and Water Board Task Force. They just issued their report. And the report starts out basically outlining a lot of things that we've already talked about on this show. A low confidence in the Sewage and Water Board. Fractured governance between the Department of Public Works and the Sewage and Water Board as it relates to drainage. Botched billing. Outstanding judgments that have yet to be funded. Clogged catch basins, I think 72,000 basins, not all clogged, but insufficient maintenance plan, and deficient revenues and outdated equipment, which leads to what? Long-term capital deficit because they're not appropriately funded. They made a number of priority recommendations, and we'll talk to that with Paul. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
So y'all covered a lot in the first pages of the report of what I just outlined, and we've all talked about that, and no need to really kind of rehash it. And as a result of that, y'all made a number of priority recommendations. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, kind of right up front is obviously that the whole Department of Public Works and drainage duties, making sure that, there's a clear line of sight who's responsible for the catch basins in those smaller pipes. And so, that obviously is, super important that, drainage be managed in one part of an organization and that go to the Sewage and Water Board and the money follow those responsibilities. And we've talked to a number of legislators who have agreed to, they think it's important and they're willing to memorialize that in legislation. The other part, and you and I have talked about this a lot, and it's what we heard in public hearings and obviously emails from, citizens who have, $15,000 to $17,000 bills, right? And that's, we've got to earn the taxpayer's trust back. And so one of the things that we were talking about is an independent arbitration arbitrator. There's already some legislation filed as well, and a special master where And what we're talking about doing, since, you know, smart metering is coming on by 2026, for a period of 2 years, you would have an arbitrator or special master who would work with the Sewage and Water Board billing department to make final decisions on bills that are just outrageous, right? And we know, and you've heard a number of those. We think that's very important to winning back the public's trust, and that people just get a final answer within some reasonable period of time and not drag out. As we heard example after example of people who had bills that literally 2 years later still are, you know, look on their bill and see a discrepancy. So that's got to be cleaned up. And we think this is the way to do it. The other piece is that was right up front was the idea of unclassifying some of the civil service managerial positions, making those unclassified. Either that'll be dealt with in legislation, or that'll be dealt with in the Constitutional Convention that is upcoming, because civil service is a little bit complicated. And then one that's gotten the headlines is the recovery district idea, that, you know, there are some examples around the country of systems that have been put in receivership or have been put in reform organizations. The one we use is Louisville, Kentucky. That has probably met the most resistance from a lot of folks. And, you know, Senator Jimmy Harris and I had some conversations about it. Most people feel like there's another way to do it, that this having it put in a recovery district, there are some complications there related to how money follows and how what we didn't want to do. And although it's in the report, right, and we said we would, you know, list all recommendations by task force members, this was brought up, and it's something we put in the report. And look, it's going to – there's going to be some conversations about it, right? But I don't think it's top of everybody's mind. So those are kind of the – well, the other piece, obviously, is the drainage consolidation, which we talked about. And then there's a piece about power improvements and strategy that, you know, we've talked about the power station before, moving into the 21st century on power and redundancy. Obviously, finishing up that power station will be very helpful. There's been some very positive conversations about how to fund that overage that occurred. I think you and I talked about that, that, you know, there was a bid that came in about $25 million over. There's also a recommendation about operations audits, which is something that's already being done, but we felt like maybe there's an opportunity to plus that up and to, you know, to kind of take some of those audit findings and kind of continue on. The last recommendation was declaring a state of emergency, which obviously is, you know, the thing you say for last resort. So we are having a meeting Tuesday with a number of legislators and the governor's staff to kind of talk about, like, path forward on these recommendations. And so we'll start working with legislators on what needs to be done to accomplish some of the things we talked about.
So the priority recommendations A, B, and C, the three that start out on the report, is that creating any heartburn for anybody?
You know, so there are, I mean, the council, I mean, I've spoken to Oliver Thomas, you know, there, Councilman Thomas and Councilman Jerusso and Morrell and Elena Moreno, about some of the recommendations. Councilman Green, you know, so the question is, right, on, for example, drainage consolidation. Who provides the oversight? And, you know, there's been this kind of back and forth about, and here's just reality, and you know this, I mean, you've worked in government, I've worked in government a long time. If you receive money from an entity, you have to be responsible to that entity. And so if the drainage, catch basins and smaller pipes go over to Sewage and Water Board, and the council, you know, appropriates dollars that follow that recommendation, and it moves over, the responsibility moves over, then the Sewage and Water Board needs to report to the council about some of that. That's been a back and forth that's, you know, we all feel like the task force and the governor and his staff feel like that needs to, you know, that back and forth needs to stop. And we just need to memorialize in legislation how this should work going forward. Right. So the billing, for example, and the special master. Now we're just getting down to the details of how this works.
Before we move on, let's talk about the catch basins real quick. So, you know, what's interesting to me is that obviously this fragmented approach seems fairly obvious that it's not working, right? I mean, does anybody get the sense that it's working? Because I don't. I mean, I don't know.
No.
I haven't heard that anybody does.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of interesting to me is that y'all talk about this in the report, the difficulty, the cost, the expense of vacuum trucks, right, in doing it. My son works in a business that utilizes vacuum trucks, and he tells me they're nothing but a royal pain in the derriere, and they're very difficult to maintain. They cost a lot of money. They're effective. They work. But you have to be all over it from a maintenance perspective, which kind of begs the question. You know, we have like leafless gutters, and we have ways of moving the vast majority of debris and separating it from water. Has anybody ever thought about developing catch basins down here that kind of do the same thing? You know, where
yes,
you're moving debris, you know, but why are we not? I mean, we know we got this problem, right? And then we know we had these antiquated pipes, and experts tell me part of the problem is the water hose, the jet hose that we're putting down there to unclog some of this, because of the degradation in the piping, it cuts the hose. The hoses are very expensive. It's one of the biggest maintenance issues that they have with vacuum trucks. You know, why do we not recognize this? And is anybody out there working towards a solution that makes all of this easier? I don't get the sense that they are. The folks that I've reached out to say we're not. Do you know if
we are? Here's the challenge. So there was testimony on both sides. There was testimony about the idea of using vacuum trucks, but there was also testimony about moving to catch basins that look different, that are protected, that, you know, different engineering, right? The challenge is nobody's talked about that because the money's not there to do it. If you remember, the reason that we focus so much on billing and so much on rates in the conversation is because the public confidence is so low. And so one of the things that's happened is that the consumer is not willing to pay more. And so the Sewage and Water Board, without the right amount of funding, hasn't even moved forward. Juan Leger made a great point in our last task force meeting. He said we should be thinking about the system we need 30 to 50 years from now, not the system we need today.
Exactly.
And so, So part of, and look, my career has been dealing with a lot of problems. And what I always recognize is, okay, first things first, we got to deal with some basics.
Right.
And I think the governor's staff recognizes that there's some basic things that have to happen very quickly, right? And while we have this momentum, let's do that. And so I think there's an opportunity to have the legislature, the council, the mayor, the Sewage and Water Board all on the same sheet to kind of move forward on the three things we've talked about, to fix them, to build more confidence, and then move forward. Because, look, once you start, you have the ability to increase rates, you know, collect more money, then you can start thinking about, you know, other things. The other thing that we've encouraged us on to do is look at some innovation grants, you know, as you know, the infrastructure bill has a lot of money to correct problems from the past. And so, you know, obviously that's something that he's taking a look at. They've applied for some grants. They're looking at others. That's one way to get ahead of it, you know, without waiting
on some
the
of the federal, some of the federal dollars that we've had with some of the street improvements and the drainage improvements that we've had to do. If we had catch basins that were designed differently, that would minimize the amount of debris that would end up in those horizontal pipes, we could spend some of those dollars now. I mean, we're never going to be able to afford to go out there and replace 72,000 catch basins in the span of 5 years. So that's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But you got to build on it, right? I mean, it just
there's no disagreement there, Newell, that you have to build on. But it's like anything else, right? It's like an army. It's like a baseball team, a football team. You know, if you're 2-8, right, you kind of go, okay, mm-hmm. I got to get back to fundamentals. And that's what we have to do. We got to get back to fundamentals. It's not that there are people doing a good job, but there's some very intrinsic issues that have to be dealt with. And I think what we tried to do is put those three things, like, you know, face up. Here's what we got to deal with. And this is what's
going to
happen.
Look, I love it. So, I love it. For what it's worth, I love it, because I always viewed my role when I was sheriff in operations, and when I was a chief criminal deputy in operations, I removed hurdles. I went to work every day wondering how many hurdles could I remove so that I could get from point A, my men and women could get from point A to point B faster. You know, where I wouldn't compromise something inside the organization operationally. And that's what I set out to do, removing hurdles. I think what y'all have done is remove hurdles, right? and tried to make it more streamlined and getting from point A to point B faster. I'm just kind of curious. I've heard a lot of folks all, you know, a little bit uptight about this and that, and wondering, you know, who's going to have control over this and who's, what do we fear? Because, you know, I think you and I are on the same page here. It ain't working. I mean, so what do we fear? Do we fear success? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, like, part of the challenge is that there's, you know, look, the council has a role. And, you know, I respect that role. They're elected. The mayor has a role. The Sewage and Water Board is appointed by, you know, through legislation. They have a role. The state has a role. I think what you're hearing and seeing is kind of a rebalance a bit, or a reset of, hey, look, this is why we're here. This is why, you know, the governor, I mean, look, the governor ran for office. He picked this up while he was, you know, going to events, right, and campaigning. And there were so many complaints, and it was so evident to him that it was in the New Orleans transition team report, and it's, you know, now a task, the part of a task force. So yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, just helping everybody understand that we're all in this together. I might not live in New Orleans, but, you know, I work with the city of New Orleans. I mean, and the people on the task force live in New Orleans. And they were there just to do what they were asked to do, right? And they cared to serve for 30 days and listen. And I think that, you know, it's a thoughtful report. If people look beyond the state takeover, which is, to be very frank, was only talked about out of 9 hours of conversation, right, in 30 days of study, was only brought up for about 3 minutes in our meetings.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, that's clickbait. I mean, you know, I you get it. I get it.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, that's not going anywhere. But I mean, you know, when you talk about, like, item 8, pump to the river from Monticello 17th Street Basin, that's huge. Because that, as y'all point out, that's 39% of the stormwater in that basin. That helps Lakeview, Old Metairie, Old Jefferson. It helps a lot of different people, you know, and talking about that regional consolidation and thought process. That's big time. Those lead to successful outcomes, right?
Yes, sir. That's the 30-50 year plan. That's right.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Exactly. I mean, it's amazing that no one's focusing on that. I mean, because that saves a big, big area, obviously, of both Jefferson and Orleans. And when you go, you know, is better than anyone, Paul, you go to the federal government, you got multi-jurisdictional projects and solutions. They look really favorably upon those, right?
That's right. It's all about saving money, regionalization, efficiency. That's exactly right. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for things that are going to last well into the 21st century because, you know, you're investing federal tax dollars into something that's got to survive. So
real quick, does this change any of the legislation that y'all have thought about and that has been proposed? I know you said you're going to meet with legislators next week. Is that what that's going to be about?
Yes, sir. So now it's about taking some of the skeleton bills that were filed and to start to fill out like what those bills will look like and what the detail is. And, you know, again, the conversations I've had with Senator Harris, Senator Bowie, Representative Hilperty, Representative Knox and some others, Representative Amy Freeman and Royce Duplessis, is to like, let's take those top three things and let's figure out like how we memorialize that in legislation and help the Sewage and Water Board, the city, the mayor, the whole community move forward with something that, you know, makes sense. And there'll be some other pieces, you know, around, you know, does there need to be an advisory committee? Does there need to be, you know, what else needs to take place to ensure that there are reforms that take place to support Ghassan and his team moving forward? So
let me tell you, if y'all get those three things done, that's huge. That's big time success in my view, for what it's worth.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, it's, you know, look, the task force was very sincere about what they were doing. And I think that it can lead to something good. But, you know, the legislative process now starts. And so, but we've got a good delegation.
And let the fun begin.
Yes, sir.
And they would all be laughing along with us. They would, you know, they would.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations to you, and please pass that on to the remainder of the task force that worked so hard on this. And, you know, that big time money you get for volunteering on these task forces, we appreciate it because we've been there before. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Thank you, sir.
Same to you. Paul Rainwater, chair of Governor Landry's Sewage and Water Board Task Force. If you want to see the report, you can find it on the internet. Just put those words in. It's there. It's worth your while to read it. It really is. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
New Orleans police are providing information about one person that was shot. Two were stabbed in the Central Business District in the 1500 block of Gravier, which houses the Low Barrier Homeless Shelter. That's a 300-plus bed facility open 24/7. And it looks like it may be something that occurred there. This story continues, and as soon as we have an update for it, we will let you guys know on the latest. We covered a lot of topics today. You can go to our WWL website, Rewind, and listen to anything that Tommy had, I have, or that Scoot's going to have coming up here. In fact, we're going to check with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Scoot's here to discuss castration, right?
Whoa, no, listen. Talked about that a little bit yesterday, but, you know, just out of professional courtesy, that's not something I like to discuss.
No.
So, no, we're not going to talk about that. We'll talk about, are woke people more stressed than everyone else?
All righty. Scoot's up next, folks. Stay tuned. It's got a great lineup for you. See you again in the morning.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.